called Building a Better You. And how many would like a better you in you? Your spouse used to go, yeah, that one over there. Okay, everybody wants to be better, get better, right? So we're going to do Building a Better You, this series. I don't know, it might take us all the way to Christmas. There's just so many ways to build a better you, right? And I really believe that as we go through the Word of God, it will build a better you. All right, I look at you, some of you, and I'm like, yeah, it's working. So we're going to build a better you. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. We thank you that you always love us. You love us so much that you've given us your Son, and you've given us the Holy Spirit, and you've given us your Word. I thank you for your Word. I thank you, Father, that this Word today will go into our minds, will open us up, and then we will be good receivers, and we'll have change in our life so we can build a better me, you, us. In Jesus' name, amen. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 1. This is kind of like our foundational text that we're going to use for the whole series. So by the end of this, you should be able to do it while you do cartwheels, because you're going to know it, right? All right. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 through 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Diligence, what a nice word, diligence. It's like that exercise program. All right. Giving diligence, all diligence. Add to your faith. Keep adding. It really means keep adding to your faith. Virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, yours might say charity, mine says love. All right. So, these scriptures we looked at last week, if you add all of these things, verses 5 through 7, if you add all those things to your life, if you add all those things to your life, some great things are going to happen, all right? So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is written to you, because it says brethren a couple verses up. You're supposed to add these things, all right? Also, why we're doing this is because I want to have a better you, and you want to have a better you, but this is also one-third of our vision. Our vision at YCF is to gather, and we worship the Lord, to grow in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, and the last part is go. But one-third of our vision is grow, and we want you to grow in your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And when you come to church and you hear the Word of God, it should inspire you, and you're going to grow. Everybody say grow. So this whole series is designed to have you grow. Grow up, all right? Now let's pop over to verse 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8. For if these things, that's the ones on verse 5, 6, and 7, if these things, and it's really not a question mark if, they're there, all right? But he wrote this. If these things are yours, they are. Okay, and they abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes Christians are barren and unfruitful. Simply, they don't know these things, and they're not doing much. They're not serving the Lord. They're actually in idle. We said last week, if your car is in idle, not going anywhere, all right? So that's why you need to add these things in your life so you won't be barren or unfruitful. Okay, verse 9. For he who lacks these things, that's verse 5, 6, and 7, if you lack these seven things, is short-sighted and even blindness. Okay, sometimes we are just like the blind walking around in areas of our life. And we're like, I don't know what's going on in my life. That's because we need to add these seven things to our life, to our walk while we're walking with Jesus, so you're not blind. And the last part says, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I have had times in my life, I'll be truly honest with you because I'm not allowed to lie. I have had times in my life where, man, I don't know if I'm coming or going. Matter of fact, I don't know where I'm going. But listen, if you continue to add these things to your life, you'll know where you're going. You'll know, because you know what? If you're born again today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ today, you have a testimony. Who here has a testimony? So you know where you came from, and by the way, you had, that's your testimony, and you know where you're going. So you can't say, oh, I forgot. Okay? But if you're not adding these seven things, you're probably going to forget. So that's real important why we add these seven things, all right? Verse 10. Now, verse 10 is the promises. Matter of fact, they're great promises. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, that's you and I, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, verse 5, 6, and 7, if you do these things, you will never stumble, and the other translation we said, fall. That's a pretty audacious promise there, you guys. Can you imagine? You will never fall. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, oh, Pastor D, you didn't see my week. I was splat all over the place. Matter of fact, I kind of fall every single day. All right? Well, listen, please stick with the series, all right? Please stick with the word rather yet, all right? Stick with the word, because I believe if you start learning this stuff, you learning these seven things, you start learning them, you start applying them to your life, I'm telling you, it's going to change the way you do your life. And you're not going to fall. You're not going to be splat, all right? So, go back to verse 5, would you? Hop over to verse 5. The part where it says, add to your faith, that's your walk with Jesus, okay? Add to your faith virtue. How many people know what virtue means? I don't even know what it means, you know, until I started studying this. It's just not a word you use, right? So if I were to say, hey, Frank, did you add virtue this week to yourself? And you're going, I don't know. All right, so let me give you a definition, really simple. Carol, can you pop that up, the definition for virtue? Okay, I'm going to make it really, really simple, all right? Virtue means moral excellence. All right, so those aren't really words we use either, moral excellence, but this is what that part means. Moral excellence in your words, in your actions, and the last one in your thoughts, okay? Now, words. How many of you know some people that say some things that you wish, oh my gosh, I wish they would not say that? How many of you have ever put your foot in your mouth and thought, oh my gosh, I wish I didn't say that? Okay, that's the words. Moral excellence in your words, all right? That's what virtue is. All right, how about this? How many of you have had some people that have just not treated you too well? Matter of fact, they treated you real bad. Okay, so their actions weren't moral excellence in their actions. Of course, that's not us. Yeah, right. That is us. That's why we're going to do this, right? All right, but here's what he's saying. Add these moral excellence in your words, in your actions, and then the bomb drops, he says, in your thoughts. Okay, look at that. Add moral excellence to your words, to your actions, and then your thoughts. All right? Now, if you study this out, this moral excellence in words, actions, and thoughts has more to do with your thoughts. Okay? Because what you think, how you act, is all because of your thoughts. All right? It affects, as a matter of fact, it affects how you treat people. Your thoughts affect how you treat people. So that's that action, right? It affects, your thoughts affect what you say to people, right? That's why you go zip it, put duct tape on your mouth. So I think our thoughts are really important. So the first one, I just love God. He just nails you with the first one, right? Moral excellence in your words, in your actions, and in your thoughts. All right. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever been totally consumed in your thoughts? Like you've got some major problem going on in your family with one of your kids, and you go to bed at night and that's what you're thinking about. And you wake up in the morning and that's what you're consumed thinking about, right? And you just can't shake it. You can't shake it. Has anybody ever done that? Yep. Well, here's what the Bible teaches. I'm pointing to me, but I'll point to you. You can change your thinking. You can change your thinking. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we're going to talk about. So the title of this message is called Right Thinking. So if you're taking notes, because you get to heaven first, you go in first in the line, it's cutsies. Write down that. Right thinking. Now, go back to that verse 5. It says, add to your faith virtue. How about we change it up? Add to your faith right thinking. Write that down. Add to your faith right thinking. Okay, so why? I love two-year-olds. Why? For everything they do, why? Well, you get to do two-year-olds with God. Why? Why do I have to add right thinking? Well, right thinking affects every area of your life. Yep. Matter of fact, it affects everything you do. Everything you do is affected by your thinking. So how many of you know if you've got some wrong thinking in an area of your life, usually that area is a mess, right? That area is a mess because I've got wrong thinkings and then I've got wrong acting. All right, so turn over. Let me give you a scripture. Turn over to Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23. I'm going to read this out of the New King James, but then I'm going to give you one of these translations that just really kicks it home. How many points do you get for kicking the goal thing, the football over there? Three. Okay, this is the three-pointer. All right, this one. But let me read it out of the New King James. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. I love that word. I'm going to preach a whole message on that one day. Okay? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues, verses say forces of life. Now, the Good News translation says this. This is the three-point kicker. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. 3 points, bam. All right? So, what you are today, how you think about some things today, how you act today is all because of your thoughts, right? All right? Now, but the good news is we can wash out these thoughts. The good news is you can change these thoughts. That's the good news, okay? And you don't have to keep having wrong thinking. You can change your thinking. You can change your thinking. So today we're going to talk about how you change your thinking. How you get right thinking, all righty? Now, do you know why? Everybody say why. Because some of us have messed up thinking. Moi? All right? And that's why Jesus came. He knew we had messed up thinking, all right? He knew we had messed up thinking, and that's why he came. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, you can open up to Matthew 5 while I'm talking here. Matthew, Jesus makes this statement. About 6 times he makes this statement, and this is what he says. You have heard it said. So he's encountering these people, and he says, hey, you have heard it said, and then he tells them how they've heard things said. And he really nails the Pharisees and stuff like that. So he goes, hey, you have heard it said, blah, 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 all right? And then he says, but I tell you, all right? But I tell you this. And that's because he's going to change the way they thought. All right? So if you've had some messed up thoughts, this is Jesus telling you how he's going to change the way you think, right? Okay? So Matter of fact, when he makes that statement, he changes everything of the way they thought. So he's so cute. He just sets you up. You have heard it said. And they're like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then he just goes, smack! I'm going to change your thoughts. I really do think, you know those pictures of Jesus and he's so serious. Half the time, babies, he's just laughing. He's got you. He's just got that big belly laugh. Ha! I gotcha. So this is one of those. Okay, turn over to Matthew 5, verses 43. 43 and 45. Okay, I've got it somewhere here. Matthew 5, 43 and 45. You have heard it said, this is Jesus, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Okay, now listen, this is where he has the big change on how they thought. And he says this, but I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. So he says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. You know, sometimes I think Christians still think that's what they're doing. Because someone do your dirty. Someone ticks you off. And they hate you. And you don't like what they do. Well, you go, well, I'm just going to hate them for the rest of my life. Because. But the problem is you forgot the second part. Jesus says, but I say to you, some new thinking here, all right? So Jesus comes along and he changes the way we're thinking. He changes the way we're thinking. And he says, I don't want you to think that way anymore. I don't want you to think those thoughts that you had before. I want you to change them. So everybody say, but I tell you. You got to get your finger out to this one. But I tell you. All right, so what does he tell you? Love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, wait a minute. You want me to love my enemies? And then you want me to pray for them? Yes. Why? Because he's giving us a whole new way of thinking. A whole new way of thinking. So, you have a choice when you come to church and I start preaching up and I start reading these scriptures and you have a choice to hear and do what God says and hear and do what Jesus says and you have a choice to change your thinking. You have a choice, all right? Okay, you can get some right thinking in here or you can come to church and you go, Pastor, I just don't see it that way. What don't you see? First off, I'm not saying this. This is my red letter Bible. I love this. Red letter Bible. This is Jesus saying this. Okay. So Jesus says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemies. And Jesus says, I'm changing it. I'm changing it. Okay. I'm changing it. So if you're here today and you say, man, I just hate my wife. And Jesus says, I tell you, love your wife. Okay, you're here today and you go, man, I hate my husband. And he says, I tell you, love your husband. How about, I hate my ex. And what does he say? Love your ex. I didn't write it, guys. That's Jesus, all right? So Jesus is saying all through this, I'm changing it, all right? Now, how many of you know what guardrails are? All right? You know what guardrails are? How many of you know that guardrails are really important in certain places? All right? Guardrails keep you from danger. Has anybody ever hit a guardrail, by the way? Okay. You just look at the side of my car, you guys. Just, hallelujah. All right. Guardrails, they keep you from danger, they keep you from falling off cliffs, they keep you from falling off bridges. Matter of fact, guardrails are really talking to you. They say, you, I don't want you to go through that and get hurt. You, Frank, you hitting Kathy because she hit a guardrail? I was wondering. Matter of fact, guardrails are talking to you. Say, listen, I don't want you to get into trouble. That's what guardrails say. Now listen, this is what God does. God sends Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to change your thinking. And I'm going to set up guardrails in your mind. All right? And so when if you go over too far, and you go over too far the other way, you're going to bump into that guardrail, and it's going to speak to your mind. All right. Now getting back to those real guardrails. Guardrails are set up. Better yet, let's do this one with Jesus. Guardrails are the word of God set up. They're set up, you guys. The guardrails are set up to keep you so you know not to get in trouble. Okay, that's what the guardrails are for. So by the way, they tell you when you're doing something wrong. How many of you know, be really honest, you know when you're doing something wrong? You don't need some preacher coming and say, oh honey, just wanted to tell you. All right? You know. Why? Because there's guardrails. All right? You know. Okay? The word of God is set up to be a guardrail in your life to keep you on track. Or better yet, not off track. Right? So, how about we got this? Oh, I used to, one time we went to Tortola on a scuba diving trip. What fun. Beautiful place. But this place, they had a few guardrails. They needed a lot of guardrails because this was a volcanic island and it goes round and round and they got these itty bitty roads, okay? And they had a few. They needed a whole lot more guardrails, all right? So you're going up this mountain and it has guardrails. And if you have an accident, you're going to hit the guardrail. But the good thing, the guardrail is going to save your life, right? So you don't go over the cliff or the mountain, all right? Okay, it's going to keep you from dying. Now, most guardrails, I don't know about in Tortola, but most guardrails are not easily to break through. They're really strong, okay? But let's say you do go through that guardrail, you're going to what? Die. Thank you. You're going to die. All right. So guardrails are there to save your life. All right. And the guardrails were set up to stop you from getting in trouble. Now, how many of you have ever, getting back to thoughts, see, this is all connected. I am not lost. How many of you have had thoughts bombard your mind? I mean, and next thing you know, you're over the cliff. Yeah, all right? And you're laying in bed. But listen, God says, Jesus says, you can change your thoughts. You can have right thinking so you don't go over the cliff, all right? Now, let me give you some examples, all righty? Has anybody ever said this to you? You don't have to raise your hand. You're going to amount to nothing. Uh-huh. I actually had a teacher in college. I think I was going into my third year. Now, I wasn't the smartest pencil in the box. And my grades were not so hot so. And she, I could have said a lot of things about her, but I'm going to be really nice because I'm watching my thoughts. She pulled me in her office and she said, girl, you're not going to make it. You're not cut out for this. But what she didn't know is that summer, that was probably in August when school started, but that summer of 1975, I met Jesus. I got born again. And I found out something. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right. See, now they record things, so I can't tell people's names. But I would say, God rest your soul, Dr. So-and-so. Okay, this lady. Okay, Dee, keep your thoughts good. I'm going to read this out of the J.B. Phillips translation. Because most of us will say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, behold, all things pass away, da 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 da. And we get so used to just saying it fast that this doesn't stop to hear. And that's why I get out different translations sometimes, because they're the kick. 3 points, all right? So this one, J.B. Phillips. If any man or woman is in Christ, he's a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone, and everything has become fresh and new. So what I wanted to say to dear Dr. So-and-so is, everything's changed in my life. That old thing's past and dead. Hallelujah. God's made me a new person. And I really don't care what you think or you say, because I know this to be true. So if you still have that thinking, you're not going to amount to much. You can't do this. I want to encourage you. Jesus Christ puts all of him inside of you. Now, you have to put a little effort to it, guys. You have to open a book, you know, which I wasn't too hot in. Okay, and he says, you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, blessed going in, blessed going out. You can do all things through him, and he will help you through his grace and through his Holy Spirit. So you know what I wanted to say to that lady? Everything's changed. Hallelujah. By the way, I passed by the hair of my chinny chin chin, because it was really hard wiping up 2 years there. All right. Let me give you another one. How many of you go to work? Okay, none of you go to work? I go to work. I got a job. Anybody got a job? I got a job. This is a job. All right. It's a job I love. Okay, so hopefully this will help you. Now, you may, no fingers pointing, have had this mentality, or you still do, so no fingers pointing. I go to work. I work. But, you know, every day I take something from work. You know, like some pens. Little post-it pads, a tablet. Every day I take something because they don't pay me enough. Like I'm worth a whole lot more. So they owe me. All right. By the way, these pens are free. You may take them home. The sooner you take them home, and who was it that came back and returned them? I was like, they were cleaning house. The sooner we get new ones. All right. Take them home. But, now, if this is the mentality you have, I want to tell you what Jesus says. But I tell you, all right, turn over to Ephesians 4, all right, Ephesians 4. You're going to laugh at yourself. You got to laugh at yourself. It's better than someone laughing at you. All right, this is a new way of thinking. Ephesians 4:28. This is a new way of thinking. All right. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, do something useful. Let's do that again. Do something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So what's Paul saying? Hey, you were a bunch of thieves. Stop stealing. And go get a job. All right? And when you get a job, it's so that you can share with some people that have need. So the next time that you're at work and you want to do, okay, remember the scripture, because now there's a guardrail that was put in place to keep you from stealing. I know, you didn't like that one. I'll give you another one, all right? Turn over to Matthew 6 now, Matthew 6:14. Everybody say, new way of thinking. Matthew 6:14. All right. For if you forgive men their trespasses, their sins, the things they do nasty to you, Okay? Your heavenly Father will forgive you. Verse 15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. All right. That's a new way of teaching. That's a new way of thinking. So you have to forgive. Right? He says, you know, you used to hear this, but I want to tell you something new. Listen, all of Jesus's teachings, all of them, the reason why he came was to give you a new way of thinking. And listen, new is better. Everybody say that, new is better. New is better, all right? He gives a whole new way of thinking. All right. Now, I want to tell you about this lady. Someone gave me her book probably about 5 years ago. Since then, I've watched a couple YouTubes. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. Has anybody ever heard of her? She's a neuroscientist. Okay? I'm going to read some things off of her web. Do not turn the web on right now. You're supposed to pay attention. All right? She's a Christian. Everybody say she's a Christian. She's a spirit-filled Christian. She's also a good-looking lady, too. I should look, telling you what. Okay, so she's a neuroscientist, and she deals with our mind, our thoughts, and how they affect us. Our mind and our thoughts and how they affect us. All right? By the way, get some of her stuff or just YouTube her. She's excellent. So she said, because of her research, and she's been doing this for years, 75% to 95% of all illnesses that plague us today is a direct result of your thoughts. Wow. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally is an epic of toxic emotions. All right, it gets worse. Hang on there. The average person, you're an average person, has over 30,000 thoughts a day. Thoughts that are uncontrolled leads to an uncontrolled thought life and creates conditions for illness that actually we make ourselves sick. Now, this is her research. You know, it's so cool. First off, God's put everything on the earth, and men finally discover things. Did you know electricity's been on the earth for the beginning of time? We just finally got around to discovering it, right? So this is scientists that's discovering what the Word of God says. So that's why I like this. All right, let me read a couple more things she says. Okay? Research shows that just fear alone, triggers more than 1,400 unknown physical and chemical responses that activate over 30 different negative hormones in your bodies. Say, ooh, ooh, that's all right. There are intellectual and medical reasons to forgive. She makes that statement. Now this one. Toxic waste generates toxic thoughts. So you have yuck thoughts. They generate toxins, all right, that cause the following illnesses. Now let me say this. If you have these symptoms, this isn't your case. Okay, it might be, all right? So toxic waste generates toxin thoughts that cause these illnesses. To just name a few, cancer, diabetes, skin problems, and asthma, all right? Medical research points to the fact that thinking and controlling thought life is the best way to detox your brain. Thinking right thoughts is the best way to detox. Now, has anybody ever done a tea that's supposed to detox? So I was at the chiropractor and I said, look at my eyes. They're like a little yellow. She says, oh, you need a detox. Your liver. Okay? By the way, I didn't do it. It was going to be too painful. But I did do a detox tea once. And you know, the interesting thing, the detox was to get rid of yuck in your bodies, right? So I decided I'm going to do the detox on Monday. But I also decided today is Friday, then Saturday, then Sunday, and then there's Monday. So while it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to eat large amounts of dark chocolate, chocolate shake, Oreos, and all that stuff. And then come Monday, I'm going to do the detox. But what I found out, when you do that, come Wednesday, you have a stinking headache. One time I went off coffee. That was a detox headache. Boom. Because I decided to do the Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. And your body feels like it's got the flu all over. Anybody ever do a detox? You're just all healthy. But listen, this is what I found out after that. It's best not to do that. Not to do the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Matter of fact, when I know I'm going to do something Monday, come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I do real healthy. So it's not so painful. Now listen, the cool thing about God's way is you can detox your brain. And it's not as easy as drinking this tea that tastes like yuck 5 times a day. And it's through his word, okay? The word of God will detox you. Amen? So I want to go through a couple of more scriptures, and we're going to find out how to get right thinking. Oh, Dr. Caroline Leaf, L-E-A-F. She's originally from, it's where they speak really nice, down Australia or one of those down under. And so you'll just love listening to her. And she lives in Texas now. Dr. Caroline Leaf, you can YouTube her, all right? She's got great books out, all right? But this is even the better book, okay? If you're taking notes, write down Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Who is Paul talking to? Believers! He says, brethren. So put your name in there. I beseech you, D. All right, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Who does the presenting? Call your name out. D, you present your body. All right? All right, so he's actually begging them, present their bodies. All right? So I beseech you, I beg you, D, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, when we talk about bodies, we're not just the body you pinch, the whole you. Okay, your thoughts, your actions, your words. You present all of that to the Lord as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Okay, now, you remember when we had Cliff Graham here? He does the youth camp. I snuck in on his last meeting. It was the first time I've heard it. Since then, everybody's told me, oh, I already knew that. He says, present your body as a living sacrifice. He said, living sacrifices are alive, and they keep wanting to crawl off the altar. You keep wanting to not do this, but he's telling you, you have to do this daily. Get your stuff back up there daily. You do this daily, all right? Now, you present your bodies, you know, all of this, all right? And you have to do it daily. Everybody say daily. 24/7, like all the time daily, all right? Now, how many of you remember the Apollo? Apollo spacecraft? When did it go? I was little. Okay. They decided, The NASA decided they were going to send Apollo, the spacecraft, to the moon. They set the coordinates, and you would think, blast off, get there. But you know what happened? About every 10 minutes or more, they had to recalculate, make corrections in watch out. Keep making corrections in the path that they were taking. Every 10 minutes or more, they had to keep making corrections. And finally, they landed on the moon, and they weren't too far off target. So what's that have to do with you? These thoughts, this brain, you have to keep making corrections. You have to stay with it daily, or you are off the deep, right? All right? And listen, off the deep isn't good. All right, verse 2, that was Romans 12, how about, give me a second here. Oh, yay, yay. You think I went to a football game, was screaming all night. Okay, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, let me say something about this conform to this world. Most people, myself included, in the past have thought this. You can't wear that. No tattoos allowed. You can't have any piercings and spiked hair colored all funky. Well, what do you think of this? I'm a female preacher. I wear pants. I have some piercings. And you know I color this hair. Every 4 weeks. If you'd like to sow into the fund, help yourself. Okay. So it's not talking about that. All right? It's talking about the heart. We need to talk about the heart. As a man thinks, so is he. Okay? It's that thing, be conformed to this world. It's the world system. And who's the god of this world? Satan. All right? But listen, I'm not conforming to his world system. Some of you know me pretty good. Even though I wear pants, I have pierced, do my hair. Oh, by the way, I used to have spiked hair in the back. What was like in the early 2000s? It was spiked out like a porcupine. All right? Okay, now, I don't know, how did I get over there? Okay, so it's not talking about that. Let's read that again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, 1975, I got born again. God was so good. I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably be like all my brothers and sisters, either dead, an alcoholic, HIV, or in jail. Not a very good possibility there, you know. Okay, but listen, I got born again, but the moment I got born again, I still had some crazy thinking going on. Anybody had some crazy thinking still going on after the moment you got born again? Okay, because what changed was on the inside, not up here. All right? I wished. Okay. But you know what happened? It's been a process. So it's been a process of me getting into the Word, loving this Word. Some of you should say, thank God she finally got into the Word. And then 5 years would go by, and then there'd start to be a little bit of change. And then another 5 years would come and go, and there was more change, and then more change. All right? But listen, the most horrible thing you could ever say to me is to bump into me now and say, wow, Dee, you're exactly the same. That break my heart. That's bad. All right? That's bad. But listen, in 1975, God came into my life. And I did. I started, well, one, someone told me I had to go to church. It really wasn't because I wanted to, but they told me, and I thought, well, okay. Actually, I met Jack, so then I decided he's cute. I'll go with him. Okay? Those are good things, all right? So, but you know what happened as I started putting the Word in my life, found out church was good place to go. God put guardrails up in my life because of this, all right? He put them in there so I wouldn't get in too much trouble, all right? So the more I put this in here, I'm pretty sure the less trouble I'm going to get into. Everybody say glory, hallelujah. All right, now, back down to Romans 12:2, where it says, you need to be transformed. Transformed, how do you get transformed? Look at that, it tells you. Yeah, okay, you get transformed by renewing your mind, okay? Renewing your mind, and that's how you do it, all right? Now, listen. Now I'm going to give you a picture of what the renewing means in the Greek. Oh, I forgot to do that. Okay. All right. Let's pretend this works here. This is my basket. Okay. And this is my garden. And I go down to my garden. I pick these tomatoes and I put them in and I put them in and I fill my basket up. Okay. I fill my basket up. Okay, now you know if I do that, I'm going to trip here, okay? So, that word, renewing, means to renovate. All right, Oh, better yet, let me back up. I went too far. Okay. Shoot. I goofed that up. Transformed, how do you do it? By renewing your mind, okay? Renewing your mind, say that last part for you there, it was good. Renewing your mind means to renovate. Who's watched HGTV? HGTV, whatever. I love that place. You know where they renovate these houses? Anybody, you just remember Bob Vila, this old house. I watched him, and one time Jack and I were hanging a whole new door, and I said, you're doing that wrong. What do you mean? Well, I watched Bob Vila. And you didn't shimmy, you didn't put the shimmies in, the thingamajiggers in there. So I was so good. So I love watching these renovating shows. But, you know, and they really excite you. Anybody get excited about that? Okay. And then you go to Home Depot and you fill up your car and you go home because you're going to renovate, right? Okay. And then you start tearing things down. You do the demolition. You know what I found out? The demolition was easy compared to the actual fix-up, isn't it? And, you know, matter of fact, I love taking things apart that are broken because I think I can fix them. I have taken apart all sorts of electronics. And you know what I would do all the time? Then I put them all in the brown paper bag and I give them to Phil. He goes, are you kidding me? Yep. Because I found out it was harder fixing. All right? This renewing your mind is not easy, guys, in a sense. It's something you have to do daily. Everybody say daily. In order to get these thoughts to get changed, okay, the demolition's easy. I know they're messed up thoughts, okay? But then I have to start taking them and applying them. Sometimes I'm like, what, are you kidding me? I have to forgive them? All right? Okay, so that's the hard part, but it's a good part. Everything, renovations are good. Okay, now, I got ahead of myself. How do you do this? You renovate your mind. How do you do it? By renewing your mind. And that's where I want to go. Last scripture. Oh, golly gee whiz. Last scripture. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. All right? You write that down because I'm going to talk really fast. Okay? Philippians 4:8. Okay, better read this because then I'll slow down. Philippians 4:8. Now, most of you know that, but you got to look at this. Where is it? Finally, brethren, that's us, finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any, virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, yours might say meditate, but it also meditate means to think. Think on those things. And that was my demonstration. I was just getting ahead of myself. Think in the Greek means to put in your mind. Think. You, guess what? You get to put things in your mind. You have a choice what you put in your thinking. You get to choose. All right? Now, the good woman I am, I love to tell you what to put in there. I get paid to do that. But really, you pick and choose. Everybody say pick and choose. You pick and choose whatever you want to think on. You pick and choose whatever you want to think on. All right? Now, and you can pick and choose and fill up your basket. And it's going to be bad. And that's why you need to pick and choose right thoughts. All right? All right? Now, how about this? I'm closing, by the way. Okay. You have to practice this. I can't do it. My job here on Sunday is to start dishing some of this out. But if you want to, you can go, oh, Pastor D, you shake my hand at the door if I ever make it to the door. Praise God, that was such a good message. Oh, I really like that. But unless you choose to do it, nothing's going to change in your life. And how many people have some areas that need change? I do. Till the day you meet Jesus, You got stuff to change, all right? You do, all right? Now, how about this? Let me give you another. I'm all over the page. That's okay. Medically, scientists, doctors, okay, those guys, all say that come wintertime, what's that kind of winter depression? They have a fancy name for it. Now, you can either go out and buy one of those light bulbs and sit underneath there so you get enough light so you don't get depressed, or you can choose to pick your thoughts. And I'm telling you, it'll change your emotions. It'll change when you pick and put right thinking in here. It'll change how you see people. It'll change how you talk to people. It'll change your relationships with people, and it changes your emotions. All right, so I'm giving you homework. Everybody say, oh, yes, homework. I love homework. Three things. Write this down. All right, three things. Monitor. Number one, monitor. Now, some of you, if you're like me, just do one day. Even though I said do it for a whole week. Just do one day. Monitor your thinking. Like every hour, you know, you'll do the... And start thinking about your thinking. All right? Monitor your thinking. You just might be really shocked. I had one of my kids jump in on this once. And I was like, what? And then I just sucked it up for a few minutes. And I was like, yeah. I had some thinking that was coming out of my mouth and the way I was behaving. So, monitor your thinking. Next. Number two. Then I want you to make an effort to start swapping that with some thinking positive, all right? All right? Think on right things, basically. Think on right things. So number two, then you're going to swap it out and think on right things, things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and praiseworthy, all right? And the last thing, I want you to watch and see. Start watching and seeing yourself, and then start watching and seeing the people around you. Because if you start having a change in your thinking, virtue in your thinking, and it starts getting into you and out of you, you might have a couple more friends. It might be happy days at your house, okay? You just might love yourself. Listen, if you don't love yourself, it's because you got some stinking thinking. You should look in the mirror and say, hey, young man. We used to say that. Hey, girl, you look great. All right? All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that your word is powerful. Your love and your love for us and your word for us is powerful. I thank you that it has the ability to change us in our words, change us in our actions, change us in our thoughts. And we will apply this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Gerald, do you have that flyer for me? Oh, okay. Come on up with that. All right. I'll do this. This Friday is...